Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm glad you're here with me today. I have some really sad stories to bring to you today. And it has to do with our neighbor in the north, Canada. And it breaks my heart because if it can happen in Canada, it can happen here, okay? I'm going to play some clips for you. I'm going to put the link in the description. I want you to watch the entire show. I love David Rubin, and I hope that you will subscribe to his channel. David Rubin, just so you know, he was a broadcaster, and he was very liberal in his way of thinking and his viewpoints and the way he voted until he started talking to conservatives on a show and asking questions and things like that. And he realized that he never had facts to back up his stance. It was all based on emotion. And then when he found out the conservatives had all these facts that were contrary to the lie that gets propagated around, he started changing his way of thinking because not everything ends up being racist. And so he turned his thinking from liberal to libertarian, and he's a libertarian conservative. And his shows are really, really good. I like the questions he asks, the guests he has on the show. I really like his program. And so I was watching his program, and I found out that Canada is really bad right now. Their freedoms, they have zero freedoms right now. They have been locked in their house nonstop. Basically, it's house arrest. And you can't go outside. You can't go to your backyard. You can't go to your front yard. You can't go to the park. You can't go to the church. You can't do anything. What's the difference between that and being on house arrest? No difference. And I just thought that you should know that the church in Canada is underground right now. It is that bad. You cannot worship God freely anymore. And ever since I was a child, that was one of my worst fears, that would happen in the United States. You know, it happens in all other countries that are not about freedom. It happens in China. It happens in Korea. It happens all over the world, where you in Muslim countries, you could be killed for being a Christian. It happens all over the world where people have to worship the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in secret. And that scares me that could happen here. But it's happening in Canada. And I want to play some clips for you with the Rubin Report about the things that are happening in Canada. Because I think you need to know and be on alert, because the people fighting in America right now are fighting because of these issues they saw from the beginning back in March with the edicts. When they went with it for a while, but when it started to infringe on your freedom, you give freedom away, you don't get it back. I don't care if they tell you for 4 months, 3 weeks, one day. When you give away your freedom for any length of time, you never get it back. And that's why people here are fighting so hard. So let's go into some clips with the David Rubin Report. I think you really need to see this stuff, guys. I really, really do. Now, this is a website that you can go to, therebelnews.com. It is being censored, really, in Canada. And they are having trouble with PayPal, getting their money from PayPal from their subscribers. Because of the news that they're putting out, it goes against the narrative. But let's see what happens here.
That ain't right, guys. Something has happened in this last year. Ezra, I'll throw to you first. What is going on? We're going to show some video in a moment. But what would you say the general temperature is in the North at the moment?
Well, our political class has become uniform. What do I mean by that? There are 10 provinces, each has a government and an opposition, but all the governments and all the opposition parties, even if it's a liberal government or a conservative government, they're all in favor of the lockdown. So you have no political dissidence at all. Whereas in the United States, you've got a Ron DeSantis on one side and a Gavin Newsom on the other side. You have 50 different approaches. Mm-hmm. In Canada, it's uniform. Secondly, the media is completely into the lockdowns. They're cheerleaders for it. Finally, travel in and out of Canada, even to the US, which used to be so commonplace, is extremely restricted. And I think they're making it difficult on purpose. 14-day lockdowns when you come home, you have to go to a COVID jail, basically stay at a COVID hotel quarantine center for 3 days. They're trying not to let people travel. So add in complete political uniformity, media uniformity, and no one can see what America or the UK are like. This country is like a hermetically sealed lockdown North Korea. And I know that sounds insane, but there was just a study the other day that showed that Canada is in a strange league of countries like North Korea and China for extreme lockdowns. There's no political diversity here. And we don't have a Ron DeSantis up here. We don't have skeptical media. It's the agreeableness of Canadians, which is normally so nice.
Yeah.
This is a terrible time for everyone to be so agreeable with such a bad thing.
Right. And I think perhaps your problem with PayPal might have a little something to do with the fact that you actually have been reporting on this stuff over at Rebel. Viva, you're in Montreal, and I've seen some just absolutely crazy videos about lockdowns and, you know, times that you have to be indoors and just all sorts of banana stuff.
It's we say it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope until you hit the edge, and then it's a free fall. And you have in Quebec, our premier Legault in January declared a 4-week curfew. And I'm putting 4-week curfew because we're now into month four of it. And it was imposed at the time to stem a rise in cases, not to overwhelm the hospital ICUs over the holidays. We're 4 months later. From what I can tell now, the number of people in the ICU and hospitalizations are lower than what they were at the time. And the discussion is not even how are we still in this curfew. There's no discussion as to how long this curfew is going to last. It just goes from preventative or reactionary to preventative to permanent responses from the government. And some people protest. Some people are objecting to this, but a great many aren't. When Ezra says, the media is in the bag of the government. I listen to daytime radio. They are beyond cheerleaders. They are getting everyone to, agree to accept this is going to be the new norm. It's not so bad. It's for our own good. And when you realize that, the federal government funds the CBC to the tune of $1 billion or something a year, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. In Quebec, our government is, paying for COVID awareness, which is radio placements, television placement, advertising. Radio and television, which are starved for ad dollars, they're not going to complain about this. Yep. So it's this incestuous relationship where the government funds the media props up the message of the government, and proverbially shuns anybody who dares to disagree.
Yeah. Michaela, are you shocked how...
I want to see if I can play this video. This you got to see this. Here we go.
I do want to point out, though, that you guys aren't the only three people.
I was on public property.
Never die!
Protesting is not an essential reason.
Why don't I have the right to speak what's on my heart?
In the protest, mm-hmm. You have to wear a mask. If you don't, you're going to be detained.
Small business. She's just carrying a sign, that's all. That's about unacceptable in Canada today.
About companies. About
what was her name, ma'am?
Kasia.
I mean, it's just evil stuff. You guys have seen this. I'm sure most of the people watching, I hope most of the people watching have seen some of this. Ezra, you guys, if it wasn't for Rebel, I probably wouldn't have seen half of the amount of stuff.
I'm going to stop. This is why the mask people who've been anti-maskers were anti-maskers, because it wasn't a choice. It was a mandate. It's this or else. It's this or else. It's this or else. That video that we just saw was super sad to our neighbors to the north, who we typically feel as an extension of, America, like another state. Like Canada and North Americans are There's just, it doesn't feel like there's much difference between the two countries. It really doesn't. Canadians come down here all the time. They have homes down here when it's wintertime up in Canada. We're so used to seeing Canadians. They're our friends. You know, we miss the Canadians when they're gone. They bring, you know, a lot of obviously revenue with them because they're buying property. They're going to buy groceries. They're buying goods and services when they come down to live here. Canadians are nice people. And this is why the anti-maskers were anti-maskers, because it wasn't so much, it wasn't difficult to put on a mask, okay? It really wasn't. But what the anti-maskers saw was where this thing goes. And if they could do a little thing to muzzle your mouth, you know, a psychological thing like you have no freedom of speech. Now you're unknown because you can only see half your face. Things like that, it's gotten crazy. You know what no one else also talks about are those people that are OCD about germs and germophobes. I just heard a story from a friend today that my friend's friend, okay, I don't know this lady, but my friend does. Her son committed suicide because he was locked down in his home and he's a germaphobe. Like he's afraid of getting sick and having germs naturally, right? But then you heighten it up with the media and TV. Everyone's going to die from this thing. You know, be safe. Don't spread the germs because death is upon you. And they're using fear, which is something terrorist organizations use to compel you to do something that you normally wouldn't do. Anyways, he committed suicide. He took his life. And I wonder how many other people, it didn't even dawn on me about those people. How many other germophobes out there committed suicide because they were so afraid of getting this virus that they said, I might as well just take matters into my own hands. But let me continue sharing more with the David Rubin report.
All sorts of banana stuff.
It's you know, we say it's a slippery slope.
Oh, saw that one. Okay.
Right wingers out there, right? They must be racist people or something, and they're far right wingers. But I suspect that's not really the case.
You know, it's so interesting. I see a realignment when Robert F. Kennedy Jr., when Naomi Wolf, mm-hmm. who have typically been regarded as progressive, are worried about this. You have people who are more into natural health. You have people who love working out. You have small business people who opened their dream was to open a restaurant. Lots of working class folks for whom the lockdown isn't great. There's a lockdown class. They love it because they've got a nice big backyard. Maybe they got a country home. It's a big staycation for them. Watch some Netflix, order in fast food. But what if you're in a small apartment with no backyard and yet you're not allowed to go out because there's a curfew in Montreal, a city built for going out and about? And so I think that calling them right wing, there are some conservatives who are skeptical of the state. Definitely, I would mm-hmm. call myself that. Mm-hmm. But I have never worked with more people on the left who are against police, out of control police. And let me just go through. I was just thinking of a list of people who would normally oppose police brutality. You would have the opposition, silent. You would have the media, silent. You would have courts, silent. You have law professors. You would have our version of the ACLU, the Canadian Civil Liberties mm-hmm. Association, silent. And now you have the Canadian government introducing a YouTube censorship bill called Bill C-10. And I'm thinking, why? Why now? Because that last vestige of individual dissidence is on social media, including our own YouTube channels. The police in Montreal track our guy, Yankee Pollock. They call him mm-hmm. Jew Media. They've issued him dozens of tickets for thousands of dollars. They've slammed our people against cars, handcuffed them, taken them to police stations. Where is the left? And I think that things are actually, there's some Canadians who love this authoritarianism. They find it thrilling.
And Ezra,
okay,
I want to
post one more video.
Fascist regimes. It comes down with a smile, a nice haircut, and a nice set of socks that can distract us from the tyranny.
Well, it seems like the politeness part of Canadians actually can only be pushed so far because an estimated 100,000 people showed up in Montreal to protest the lockdowns. I mean, that's an incredible amount of people for a country that, you know, usually is not protesting its government. But I want to touch on the pastor situation, because this is just incredible. Let me just read this to you. A pastor from Alberta, Canada, awaits a May trial in prison after refusing a bail agreement that would have forbidden him from preaching. James Coates, who pastors Grace Life Church in the Edmonton area, was first arrested in February after the Royal Canadian Mounted Police repeatedly flagged his church for refusing to abide by public health orders that capped attendance at 15% capacity. Guys, I'm not a scientist, but 15% means that COVID can't spread, right? That's the magic number, and that's why he should have abided by it, Ezra?
Dave, fact number one, there was never a single case of COVID in his church, let alone an outbreak. Fact number two, he served 35 days in a maximum security prison because of that. By the way, 400 inmates from the same prison were let go for COVID reasons because they were in danger. They put the actual criminals out of the prison, the pastor in, 35 days. And by the way, being convicted of this health order, not closing your church, does not even carry with it a jail term. So he was jailed out on bail waiting for a trial, the worst consequences of which would not involve him going to jail. Riddle me that one. When he got out of jail, the police were so worried that the church would reconvene that they did a dawn raid on the church, erected a large fence around it, and have since then expropriated the church and had a continuous 24-hour-a-day garrison of heavily armed police because they don't want the church retaken. It looks like an outpost in Afghanistan. The police permanently occupy this church. Now, I should tell you one last thing that's the craziest of all. Not the 35 days in a maximum security prison, not police expropriating and turning a church into a base, but this church meets every Sunday, Dave, in secret, in an underground church, in a secret location. That's China stuff, Dave. Yeah. That's Pakistan, that's India. A secret church in hiding from the police in Canada in 2021. And by the way, I expect as soon as tomorrow, another pastor in Calgary named Arthur Pavlovsky, maybe you've seen the video of him saying, get out. He has an order that takes effect, well, today, actually. And if he doesn't shut down today, he risks being jailed as soon as, well, today or tomorrow.
Can you mention his name again? Because these videos are absolutely incredible. What is it?
Sure. It's a Polish name, Arthur, A-R-T-U-R, Pawlowski, P-A-W-L-O-W-S-K-I. And we've actually, I should tell you, we're crowdfunding his legal defense. He's got a bunch of lockdown tickets, and we crowdfund civil liberties lawyers for him. So I have an interest. We're trying to help Arthur Pawlowski. But he is very stubborn. The pastor in Edmonton who went to prison for 35 days, he did so, he turned himself in. They would have let him go anytime. He just would not, in his conscience, stop calling people to church. But he was very peaceful like a dove. This Arthur Pawlowski in Calgary is more like a lion. You heard him roar. He will not go quietly. I think it's insane, but you are about to see a second pastor in free Canada in 2021 imprisoned using public health as the excuse. That's what Canada's looking like today.
So the videos of him are absolutely incredible. And actually, we'll link to the GoFundMe down below, and I'll donate to it, and I'll promote it on Twitter as well. I mean, it's just incredible. But that, Viva, to something you said before, that is why I don't mind actually calling these guys Nazis. Not that they want to necessarily round people.
So that's where I wanted to share with you. When our pastor shut down our church, he did so with the leadership of the church, and the leadership felt like we needed to, even though the governor of our state did not require that to happen. And even if he did, that would go against the Constitution of the United States, where I want you guys to really get an understanding of the Constitution of the United States are to protect the people from the government, not the government from the people. It's to tell the government you can only go this far and then you have to stop, because at that point you're invading on freedom. So even if our governor did declare that we had to cancel church, he is that at that point he would be jeopardizing the freedom of religion. Okay. in our country, which goes against the very foundation of our Constitution. We have the right to worship our God any way we want to, publicly, without persecution. We have the freedom of religion in this country. And so our governor would have been wrong, and we should have still been able to conduct church. But our leadership decided that was not in the best interest. I have to respect him. I know he hears from God. Every sermon that he preaches are directly from me, from God, even though I know he doesn't know that when he's doing his sermons. I think he's a godly person, and I'm not trying to put him down or the church down by any means. But in my heart, I felt like that was the wrong thing to do because I was losing my best friend to cancer. I felt like I had no choices in life anymore. I was getting very depressed and sad. And the one place I felt the safest was in my church, worshiping the God who can control everything. You know, that's where I felt the safest. And when that was taken from me, it was the hardest thing for me to go through last year, especially. And then especially losing someone so close to you and not being able to be by her side because the hospital would not let any of us be next to a dying woman. She was dying. She was terminally ill from breast cancer, and they forbid us to be by her side. And that gripped my heart, and it was so hard for me to deal with that. On top of it, my dad was terminally ill and needed a transplant. He had received the transplant in December. Unfortunately, he died 2 weeks ago, which has been so devastating for us and my family. And so a sadness still grips my heart. You know, my dad had a fungus growing on his heart that no one knew was there until the day before he died. It was totally preventable if someone had known about it. But nobody knew about it. And so now I have to live the rest of my life without my dad. Really sad. And had those COVID restrictions. The COVID restrictions were really hard because on Friday I was able to go see my dad. I had my kids, you know, being watched, but they only let two people in his room. So my mom and my sister was in there. He died on Saturday. So the COVID restrictions hurt me that way. I was able to tell my dad goodbye on Saturday, but he couldn't speak to me because he had a tube down his throat. On Friday, he didn't have a tube down his throat. My sister and my mom were able to talk to him, and he could talk back. COVID restrictions have hurt me so bad in ways I can't go back in time and talk to people that I cared about that did not die from COVID. Nobody talked about suicides and people dying because they're germophobes, or people committing suicide because they're people and they couldn't see their people anymore. Cabin fever is a real thing, and being locked in your house or in a jail cell and not being able to get out is a real thing. Being locked with your abusers is a real thing. We've never, ever been like this with well people. You know, people who are sick get confined to their bedroom until they get better, or a hospital until they get better. But this has gone insanity. And now we have pastors in Canada being thrown in prison and people worshiping God in an underground church. There's something wrong with this. So I needed to bring it to your attention today. Thank you for listening to the show.